In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you're washed, you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Man, what a wonderful, wonderful promise and hope that we have. As he talked about the ones who have sinned against God, and then what God can do for us in them. As we think about this, there's times as Christians we need to realize not only where we came from and where we are now, but we need to realize the reality of life in which we live day by day as children of God. Now, you know and ought to know, and if you don't, talk to me afterwards and I will give you complete assurance that you cannot lose your salvation. You have everlasting life, and praise God for that. It is eternal. That means no end. Nothing can change it. It's not a matter of us loving God, it's God loving us. And he tells us in Romans that there's nothing that can stop that. He loves us. He's chosen to love us, and especially through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But as we go about our daily activities, we have to be honest with ourselves and realize what's really going on in our lives. We love God, we love Jesus, we want to be obedient, but we find ourselves as we mix with the world, as we're involved in the world, whether it's to shop, whether it's to go to work, or whatever it might be, we're involved with others, and you cannot just close your eyes and let it all disappear. It just doesn't do that. It's around you. You're going to hear things that you don't want to hear. If you want any type of entertainment, you're going to hear things that you definitely don't want to hear. You're going to see things that you don't want to see. You will, even though you try to guard yourself and you try to pick out what you might hear, what you might see involved in those areas, still yet, you'll find yourself in a place where that are listening to things that you don't need to listen to. We know that we have forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And as we realize these things, and we're not there, and sometimes we find ourselves in a crowd or in a company or with some things that's going on that it wasn't our choice to do so, but we find ourselves there. When we get through, we feel a little dirty. I never will forget the only time I went to Southern Baptist Convention in New Orleans. They've had it there other times. The first time we had it there, a large number of us pastors tried our best to get them to cancel it and to have it somewhere else and not to have it in New Orleans. But there were those who were saying they wanted to witness to others that were there. I said, well, that's good, and we need to witness to them. But as we went throughout the city, and then especially as the convention where I was staying wasn't too far from Bourbon Street. If you know anything about New Orleans, that's the place a Christian doesn't need to see. I don't care what your curiosity is, you just don't need to see it. And I didn't want to see it, and I didn't see it. But just to be in that area, every time I went back to the hotel where we were staying after the convention and then trying to witness to it, I felt dirty. Just being amongst all of that ungodliness, just felt dirty. You ever felt that way? Sometimes we wonder, is there any place that's clean that we can be in or that we can deal with? Well, in this passage of verse 11, where it says that such were some of you, but you're washed. Now, it's one thing to be forgiven. It's another thing to be washed. We can commit all kinds of sins as children of God. We'll have the wrong thought. We'll entertain a wrong motive of doing something. We will become selfish in what we might be doing, and we feel an urge to talk to someone, but we put it off. And we find ourselves wrestling with some guilt in that, of things that we should have done that we didn't do, much less the things that we were involved in that we shouldn't have been involved with. And we just feel dirty. And we can ask God to forgive us, and He does through the blood of Jesus. But to be washed is something else. To be washed means that is removed from you. Not, man, what a, it is removed from your life. And man, what a blessing that is. And it's not something that is removed easily. I've worked with different things where I've tried to remove certain things that's on another object, whether it be some glue, whether it be a label, or whether it be something that has stained that I didn't want it to stain. And you just can't change it by water. You have to have special chemicals to remove some of the stains that you get involved with on the things you're working with. And that's true in our life. Just to have our sins washed, there's a special process involved in that. Look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, first of all. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. And how that, as we might feel dirty and feel unclean by some of the things that's going on and the things in our life, though we know we have forgiveness and from Jesus. But in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible tells us, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins, how to do something good, his own blood." Now, you might try to do something good to overcome that which is evil. You might try to balance it out and do things, and it's not going to work. To really be washed of those things that you were involved in, the blood of Jesus Christ must be applied to your life. And we must realize that and go to Him. And praise God, we can. And how that fountain that flows from Emmanuel's veins, oh, to plunge into that fountain and to be washed. What a blessing it is. And I thought about, as was preparing for this message tonight, early in the week, knowing that we would be having Thanksgiving. I did the same thing with out at the Baptist Village, and knowing that Thanksgiving, I said, "Well, Lord, I need to speak on Thanksgiving. It's just a few days after that, and so need to be involved with that." And that's what I thought the Lord was leading me in, until after we drove home from Arkansas Saturday morning, got here a little bit afternoon, the Lord said, "No, that's not what we're going to talk about." For the folks out at the Baptist Village, we talked about the mercy seat. Now, you want to know something to be thankful for. A mercy seat that the Old Testament saints couldn't even get near, only the high priest once a year. And then Jesus comes and dies on the cross, and that veil was torn from the top to bottom and opened the way that you and I now can come into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. Man, that's something to be thankful for. Then tonight, as He laid on my heart the matter of our experiences and the things that goes on, one of the things that we can be thankful for is that we can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Not just for salvation, but our daily walk. Not only forgiven of our sins, but to be washed, to have it removed from our lives. Now, some of us don't want it washed. You say, "What do you mean, don't want it washed? Surely we'd want our sins washed away from us." No, you like to hang on to it. You want to try to remember it. Let God wash it from your life and wash it from your mind. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. How can that be that the sins I've been forgiven of, even today, can be washed from me, can be cleansed from me? Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Jesus is comparing his relationship with the church as a husband's relationship with his wife, and all of the that's involved in that, and the responsibilities and the love. In Ephesians 5 and verse 26, talking about the church, he said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, a good bath in the word of God. Now, we need to take, they thought one in the word of God. Now, my kids, when they were young, they thought one bath a week would do the job. Later on, realized they've got to take bath whenever they get dirty. And some of them, that would involve every 10 minutes involved with that. But that's true in our life. The more we're in the Word of God, the more of the cleansing power of God and the washing through His Word, not only by the blood of Jesus Christ, but this Word is alive because of the blood of Jesus. Man, what a blessing it is. What assurance we have that we can be washed, and we can testify, I am washed from the old life. My father, real father, had quite a reputation in our hometown. His name was Norman, but no one knew him by Norman. He was known as Sleepy Wells. And he was involved in activities, nothing like gambling and so on, but he just didn't believe in God. And frequent the bars and so on. And then when God called me to preach, the statement was made, Sleepy's boy, a preacher? No way. No way that Sleepy's boy could be a preacher. The only way I could be a preacher was that I was washed. My, what a blessing it is to be washed by the blood of the Lamb, but by the Word of God. Oh, to study God's Word and how wonderful and precious it is. But then we have people, and you might find yourself there, just going about your routine, and nothing really seems to be important to you. You get up every day, do the same thing, go through the day, and you made it all right, and you still feel like you can maneuver a little bit, and go to bed that night, wake up the next morning, almost the same type of thing, almost as if you didn't have a purpose in life. Without God, we have no hope. But when we come to God and He becomes our Father, God gives us a purpose. And we have a definite reason for living, even in our old age. I was always kind of wondering about this as I begin to approach that golden moment to be called a senior adult and get into that senior citizenship deal and all of that. And I was thinking and had the attitude from what I'd heard and others, well, now you just don't do anything. You just sit back and relax and take it easy. Well, that's about as far from the truth as you can get in that light of it. And I knew that didn't work too well. But come to realize, hey, I've got a purpose in life. It didn't quit when I reached 65. It didn't quit when I reached 75. It hadn't quit when I reached 81. Still, I have a definite purpose in life. In other words, I am sanctified. Notice that verse 11 again of our text in the matter of you're washed, but you're sanctified. Now, sanctification has a number of things involved with it. One in the matter of sanctification deals with the matter that we're made holy, not by our works. We're made holy by Jesus Christ. Now, as a child of God, I can now have that reputation of being holy by the power of God, not by my ability, not by my bringing up or my heritage. Now, I'm a child of God, and I am sanctified. I am made righteous in Jesus Christ. And God has given me a will, a purpose to live day by day. I don't have to hang it up. Man, I can go more than I ever thought I could go before. Look at it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let's begin with verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 2. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible tells us, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Oh, I tell you, we need a revival of coming back to living a good life. Living a life that brings honor and dignity to one another. Bring dignity to our own body, much less respect the dignity of someone else. In America, we've come down to the place where that no one has any respect for another person, not in their well-being, but in the matter of the sexual orientation. In the matter of respecting the body of another person, we've even come to the place where you don't want to make a difference between a male and a female. Well, brother, there's a world of difference. And there's no way you can change that. God created it that way, but he created that we should respect those positions. Respect it and give an honor to it and not disgrace and not tearing it down. And anywhere in America you turn, whether it be entertainment, whether it be just walking down the street, and in most places, going to Walmart. Spend 10 minutes in Walmart without shopping and look around and see how much people are disrespectful of their own bodies, much less that of others. Don't you feel kind of lost in a purpose? It looks like the whole world is just aimlessly going about their activities that are there. But to be sanctified means that we, our lives have been set aside for a purpose. Not only to respect ourselves and respect the Word of God, that our bodies is the temple of God, and that we need to treat it as a temple of God with dignity and honor. And then if you'll notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, in the matter of dealing with the part of people and their actions as well as to how they treat one another. And then it comes to verse 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God in us, in dealing with the matter from salvation, that he begins to deal with our life and making it right with God and holy. It's been sanctified. But now we find that sanctification, the purpose of our life and what we need to do now and what we need to do tomorrow and through all of eternity, is by the word of God and prayer. That's the Bible. The more you're in the word of God, the more you're going to know your purpose in life. Your purpose in everything that you do. Just to go shopping is a definite purpose. I need to see that in what God has for you to do. It's not that you just to go shop in a dark area and you're mixing with the world. You're a light that is walking into a dark area and you need to shine. You're sanctified for that. I got tickled at Leonard. I forgot who was having, I think his wife was having surgery. And we were there at the hospital and after they took her in and we were going to go to the waiting room. And had quite a few group with us and Leonard. And I noticed in the waiting room, there was a number of waiting rooms there. And there was one that was vacant, and I thought this would be a good place where the family could be by themselves and be involved in that. And so I kind of led them into that, and they all came in and began to settle down. And Leonard kept moving around in his chair a little bit like he was uncomfortable. And after a few minutes, he said, I got to go. The other waiting room was packed solid. You see, Leonard has a special purpose that God has given him. He sanctified him to witness to others. He had to go in there and tell others about Jesus. Isn't that marvelous? One came to know Christ as their Savior. Everything we do, God has a purpose for that, and we need to realize that we are sanctified, set aside by God, and we know that through Word, His Word, the Bible, and through prayer. And then look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, and being sanctified, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. This one we would like to kind of ignore a little bit. Well, let's back up a little bit in the matter of verse 19. Let's look at verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Praise God for that. He knows, and you know. But he said, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel and to honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good word. We are sanctified not only by the power of God, but through his precious word. And as we obey that word in prayer and bathe it in prayer, then we become obedient to that word in which we will purge ourselves of the things that shouldn't be in our life. So, now, you don't have to do anything. I know some of you that you're fairly well stubborn. There's some things I've tried to get you to change your mind on, and you've dug in your heels, and you're not budging one bit in that. That's all right. I admire that type of stubbornness. But the thing I want you to do with that type of stubbornness is turn that stubbornness to the world and say to the world, I'm not going to think the way you want me to think. I'm not going to laugh at the things you want me to laugh at. I'm not going to enjoy the filth and the disrespect of others. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to purge myself of you. That's part of sanctification. And oh, what a life we can have. Now look at Romans 15 and verse 16. Romans chapter 15 and verse 16. As we think about the matter of a purpose in life and how that God has a purpose for every one of us, regardless of you, of what you think are your limitations, God has a purpose. He has sanctified you, and he wants to use you in ways you can't even dream of that are exciting and thrilling. So in Romans chapter 15 and verse 16, Romans 15 and verse 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Oh, we'd like to get off into that, wouldn't we? To be sanctified by the Holy Ghost. What will the Holy Ghost do to sanctify you? What will the Holy Ghost have you doing that's different from anything else? Jesus told us, and it's recorded in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what is the sanctification? Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. One of the main tasks we're involved in is being a light unto this world, letting others know that they need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Let them know that they can be washed. They can have a purpose in life. They can be sanctified. And then we realize that as we look at our life, well, my goodness, yes, I want to be washed of those sins, not only forgiven, but no longer have that guilt that is there. Be free. And when Jesus makes you free, you're free indeed. Amen. Man, what an exciting part. Yes, I want to have a purpose in life. And I want to live a holy life, a life that honors others and honors God in everything that I do and what I say and how I act and how I conduct myself. And then what he has me to do that's not just for me, but for the precious souls around me, for those that I might not ever see, but God loves and wants to touch their lives and do it through you in many different ways. But then we get to thinking, well, Lord, my past is kind of bad. There's some things in my past that's just not going to go. You know, I mean, that it's really had some bad mistakes. Well, in this passage again, look at it now in 1 Corinthians 6:11. Such were some of you, but you're washed. Praise God for that. But you're sanctified. Oh, I have a reason to live moment by moment. But ye are justified. Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. To be justified. The best way to interpret that is we can stand before God just as if we had never sinned. Justified. Not that I have more good works than bad works. Not that I've done something that would remove this. No, I stand justified only in Christ. And God looks at me, not at my past. When I ask God to forgive me and to save me by the blood of Jesus, I died. And my past died and was buried with him. And I don't have any business digging it up and trying to carry it with me. You don't either. We are justified. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. As we realize that we need to be justified. Well, let's look at verse 23. You're familiar with that. And most people stop with that verse. They don't read verse 24. In verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You might have a horrible past. You might not have much, but it's bad enough for you. It might not mean much to anybody else, but it does to you. You need to realize that you can be justified. Now, notice that next verse, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. Oh my. Justified in Christ. Verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. Being justified freely by his grace. Now we think of grace unmerited favor, and it is. But that word grace means more than that. It means his power. We're not justified by what we do. We're justified by the power of God through Jesus Christ. And praise God we can be. Forget the past. We've got a tremendous future for us. And God has sanctified us to do his work and his will. And in doing that, we can stand justified. Notice in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. My, what a powerful verse. But now, I hope you have the right translation on this. A lot of translations have changed a couple of words in this that really change the meaning involved with it. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Galatians 2 and verse 16. Now, follow carefully. Galatians 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in of that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, we would like to think that we're justified, and which to a point we are. Now, notice, I'm going to read this again. Knowing that a man, verse 16, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not the faith in Jesus Christ. Though our faith starts with Jesus, and yes, we're saved by our faith in Jesus Christ. But here we find that we're justified. We are justified. His faith. Faith of Jesus Christ. His faith, not mine. His faith. Goes on to say, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. What faith does Jesus have? Jesus believes without a doubt and without a question that if he would give his life for you and for me, if he would obey his Father and die upon the cross and be buried and raised again the third day, that God the Father would forgive us of our sins through his blood. Not by our works. Jesus believes that. He believes that by his obedience, we can stand righteous in him. We can have his righteousness, not ours. We are justified just as if we'd never committed sin by the faith of Jesus, because Jesus knows the Father has forgiven us. It's not something that we cleansed us. He has given us a purpose. It's not something that we have to hold on to. It's something that is done in Jesus Christ, and it is for eternity. And praise God for that, to be justified. Not by works, but by his power, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Well, look at our text again. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you. We walked that pathway. But you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Have you been washed? You might have been forgiven, but have you been washed? Are you in the Word of God? Are you doing what God would have you to do? His will for your life, not yours. His purpose that he has for you in touching the lives of others in ways that we cannot even begin to imagine. Notice in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, a familiar passage, but now in the light of what has been said, look at it again. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. This involves everything of our life, whether it be in church or out of church or whatever else is there in 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light, that's in Jesus, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What does that word cleanse mean? It means you're being washed. Not just being forgiven, but you're being cleansed, removed as far as the east is from the west, separated from you, buried in the deepest ocean, never to be remembered again. Oh, praise God. We can be cleansed. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, cleanse us, forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you been cleansed? Are you in the Word? Are you obeying God? Oh, we got a lot to be thankful for. That we can be washed, we can be sanctified, and we can be justified. Tonight, wouldn't you like for that to be done in your life? Have you ever confessed your sins, the sins you did today? Thoughts that you didn't want to think about that did enter your mind. Ideas and other things. God wants us to know to his Word. God can forgive you. A lost world can know that if God can forgive you, he can forgive them. And the way he does that is the same as he does for you, he'll do for them. And that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God has spoken to your heart. Will you be obedient to his Word? May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.